The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a short message.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me.
Good morning. Good morning. Say, this is one of my favorite lessons because today I want to turn the lights off and see how dark we can make it in this room. So can we make it really, really dark real fast? Watch, I'm going to turn off the lights and get it really, really dark, right? Let's see. Ready? Here it goes. Why isn't it darker? Why isn't it darker?
Because of the windows.
And the light. Well, oh, it's the candles. Yeah, oh, and there's a few lights. Oh, can we get those lights off over there? Let's see if that's probably it. And this light's on. Hold on. You think it's just those candles? If we got those candles out, would that do it?
It's the shadows from the light.
Well, I was kind of being silly because the message that I want to lift up is the sun shines no matter what. Now, at night, the sun does go down, but in the daytime, we can say, oh, let's try to make it dark in here, and we can actually cover up. We could, if we had lots of sheets or something, we could make a room dark. You've been in a dark room in the daytime, but the light's shining.
There are lights over there.
Yes, there are lights over there, too. I'm going to stop on turning off lights because I don't think it's going to work. But what I wanted to point out to you is it's kind of like our life with Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. A different sun, but that's so that word. And that light is shining. That's actually what we're celebrating this time of year. Now, if the sun is always shining, does that mean we can't do anything about it? Well, in one sense, yeah. The sun is going to always shine, and that's kind of a good thing. But there is something that we can do. We can share that sun. Now, I don't have anything to do that right now, but have you ever seen how light, well, right now, over here, if I go to where the light is, I think I might be able to actually reach it here. Let's see. If I stand right here, do you see how my shirt gets lit up? Do you see how it's brighter than it was when I step right here? Yeah? The sun is reflecting on me. What if we reflect Jesus? Could we do that to other people? Could we share God's love and let them see God through us? It's not exactly the same, but I think we can. And that's what we're talking about in this season of Epiphany. How can we share this light with others? Well, it's actually kind of a fun thing because in one sense, it's easy, right? All you have to do is step outside. And in another way, it's hard because you have to think to yourself, what is it? How is it that I, with who I am, can share Jesus with others? And guess what? I don't have all the answers for you. But what I do know is that God will use you. And I'm going to talk about that now with everybody in my message, but I wanted to share that with you first. Can you share a prayer with me now? And then I'll turn the lights back on. It'll get really light. Dear God, let your light shine through me, and may I see your light through others. Amen. You can go back to your seats. Thank you. Let's see. There we go. Wow. So bright. Well, that's the message right there when it really comes down to it. May your light shine through me, and may I see your light through others, if you think about it. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to preach a little longer. But it is, isn't it? And isn't that the message of Epiphany, that we're supposed to look at that and remind ourselves of both of those realities? I will make their darkness bright is the words that I wanted us to ponder today. Not scripture, from the song Here I Am, Lord, that we'll be singing after this. But I want to talk about it through the scripture, and I want to ponder the call of Samuel from our Old Testament lesson. But also in that, I think it begs us to ponder our own calling, both as a church and as individuals in the church. I hope we can honor each other and listen to each other and grow in our journey of faith. And to do so, to make this an actual conversation, I'd like to start by having you turn to your neighbors. So we're going to take a moment. It can be family, it can be those, but let's make sure everybody's involved in a conversation. This is what I want you to talk about for 2 minutes. I want you to think about something that you do that you feel called to. What comes to mind when I say, I feel called to this? Or if that is uncomfortable, some people don't like to talk or think about themselves. Can you think of someone you've met who has a clear calling, one that goes beyond a job or a duty? So take 2 minutes, turn to your neighbor, and talk about that idea of calling. Let's see what you know and what you can say about it. Go ahead. Take 20 more seconds. Well, I'll tell you what. I think we could find some value in talking to one another about our calling to God each and every week. I really do. Because I know for some of you that might have even been hard. I mean, it's like, well, this is my job. And for some of you, your job truly is a calling. And other of you are kind of going, it's my job and I guess it's my calling. But we both know that for some it's not. For some, that's not what they feel like is their true calling. And of course, I'm not going to answer that question today. But I do want to ponder it a little bit more. I will make their darkness bright. Let's go back to those words again. I was walking with a friend in the dark one time up at camp, and we realized we needed more light as the sun had gone down. I pulled out my flashlight, and the dim light, well, it was a little ring that it provided, led our way at least adequately enough to prevent any tripping hazards. Or so I thought. I thought it was adequate. Because soon my friend pulled out his flashlight, and the light that burst forth from it made my light seem altogether inconsequential. Have you been around a flashlight like that? Inconsequential is an understatement. I mean, this flashlight, it was lighting the bushes behind us. It was one of those flashlights that if you had directed it at another's eyes, you would be temporarily blinded. You could wear those eclipse glasses and still see the light of the flashlight. And soon I realized something that I found a little odd and ties into the message today. I realized that I could turn my light off or on, and it visibly didn't make a difference at all. The ring that I saw that had helped me with the tripping hazard, I could not even see that little ring anymore. The other light, spotlight next to me, had made mine truly seem unnecessary. Now, it's one thing when we're talking about a flashlight, isn't it? But as I translate that to my faith, that can be mighty frightening. Imagine the possibility that the faith of another might make your own feel insignificant. Or that your faith might not help another to grow in faith, but almost make them want to turn off what little light they think they have. As we consider today's scripture and God who has entered our world through the light of Christ, I ponder our own individual calling as children of God in relationship to our communal calling. It makes me very aware that this conversation about call is a delicate one, a delicate walk of faith, and one that we are both called to and must journey upon, but also be humble. Humble so that we realize the impact that we can have on others. Scripture shares this reality with us too in its own way. Our first lesson today is this beautiful call story of the prophet Samuel. The bright light that he shared in his life is well known to the people of Israel. There's two books named after him. During his lifetime, he called the people to repentance and was respected as a leader of the people of God. He was the last of the judges. He was before the reign of the kings. But in many ways, this story we read today, it's as much about Eli as it is about Samuel. And that's pretty important. Eli, who by the words today, his light was dimming. And of course, historically speaking, many characterize him as less important to the story of the people of God. We don't have a book about Eli. Well, there's a movie about Eli. But there was, to the story of the people of God, Eli, we don't remember him as well as we remember Samuel. However, that's how we remember. I would remind you that Eli is important in the eyes of God. Eli humbly realized that this child whom he was working with needed his direction, and the calling that he had to this child would eventually lessen his own role. Eli, who is not remembered as the one who said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," we attribute that to Samuel, but as you read this story, it was Eli who gave those words to Samuel. Eli, who in late in his life, was not keeping it all together very well. And as a leader, was probably being judged for his actions and the actions of people around him. Eli kept listening in all of that. Eli kept listening to God, even as some might look and say, "You failed, Eli." He kept pondering his own call, even to near the end of his life. Kept seeking to understand what he was called to, and kept listening. And yes, humble to the end, realized that God would be speaking through another, and he needed to listen. God would be speaking through another, and we need to be listening. Eli's journey reminds me of our baptismal promise and how we live that out. I was kind of wishing we had a baptism today, because those words we say at every baptism when we light that candle are, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We announce those words to babies. Think about that. Babies who often cannot even understand the word, the simplest of words. We announce them because we need to say them over and over again. We remind ourselves that that is part of our calling as a church, to continue to be a people that believe that the light of God will shine through each and every one of us. These words we see in our relationship with the newly baptized capture a glimpse of what I think was happening between Eli and Samuel. You see, when we examine our own call story and the story of those around us, we can quickly see how intertwined our stories are. And when we think about these words, "I will make their darkness bright," in this calling that we share, I remind you that at the heart of this belief is that this light that we do have is not actually our own. This light is the light of Jesus Christ. The light that connects our calling is the light of the world. In response to this journey of baptism, Luther said this to a world that continued to make baptism about almost a destination, a place that you were. He said this, "This life, therefore, is not righteousness, but it is growth in righteousness. It is not health, but it is healing. It is not being, but it is becoming. It is not rest, but it is exercise. We are not yet what we shall be, but we are growing toward it. The process is not yet finished, but it is going on. This is not the end, but it is the road. And all does not yet gleam in glory, but all is being purified." I want to return to that illustration I shared earlier about walking in the dark with my friend and his bright flashlight. You know, the problem with that illustration, really the problem with the illustration of light in general, but we're not going to argue that one because Jesus kind of said we're going to use that one. But the problem that we do have is that when we talk about that illustration that I shared, at least, it kind of assumes that the brighter, the bigger the light, the better. And I think that that's kind of a common thing that we do. We compare ourselves to each other's, to our neighbors, in our house size, in our bank account size, in our car size, everything. We do that. On a rocky, dark path in the mountains, I want a lighter flashlight. I liked my friend's light. It provided something that was better than mine. When I think about it, it was okay that I could put my flashlight away that day. But the truth is that in life, God uses our lights for different purposes. And that when it comes to faith and interaction with others, all kinds of light are needed. And yes, each of us has a light, and some of them are not as bright as others as we see them. But when you're talking to one another, do you really want the blinding light in your face? Many of us don't. And each of us have eyes that go with that light, and we have the ability to look into the darkness. And sometimes that darker light allows your eyes to adjust better, to see out into the world beyond the shadows. There are so many ways to look at this, but my point is that your light is adequate for for what God's purpose will be through you. Your light is adequate because it's a reflection of the light of Jesus Christ. And whatever your light is, it will be used. And I remind you that the message today was about a person named Eli that was nearing the end of his life that had failed in many ways, even the people of God. In so many ways, Eli probably looked and said, "My light is not worth it." He could have said that. But instead, he said, "Samuel, listen to that voice and respond to that voice." He realized that his time, as by the way, the second to the last judge, was over. And that the light would walk through Samuel now. But that his little light mattered to the journey of Samuel. So yes, sometimes a light that blinds people is not the kind of light needed. Sometimes our little light is the perfect light. And our call story is part of discovering how your light will be used in our world. And so in response to your calling through your baptism, there isn't one answer that I can give today for you. But perhaps we can be to one another as Eli was to Samuel. Perhaps we can listen. Perhaps we can humbly allow ourselves to realize that it's not all about us. And we can listen and remember that God uses each of our gifts. And in the same time, God uses each of their gifts. And together, we journey, knowing that the light of Christ will not abandon us. Amen. Please join us in our sacred space and all the ways that we can respond to God's word.